This is Donna Mitchell from your Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
That voice you just heard right there is going to be the key, in my opinion, as to whether or not the Cavaliers finally win a playoff series for the first time without LeBron James since 1998. Whether that knee's 100% healthy or not, whatever it is, they need him flying through the air, right, JT, and making big-time plays if the Cavs are going
to
have a chance.
You remember when we asked him to cut that for us?
Yeah.
Do I have to do that? Hysterical.
He doesn't know us from Adam. Now,
he does now.
Our next guest he knows because this guy played in the league. He does the Cavaliers post-game on the Cavaliers Audioverse with Mike Snyder. And we are happy to have back on the show once again former Buckeye, former Chicago Bull, NBA player, played overseas, professional bat, and the mayor of Warrensville Heights, Brad Sellers, joining us. How are you, Mayor?
Gentlemen, I'm doing good. Glad to be on with you guys.
A big week, and we like to refer to you as the mayor of the postgame for the Cavaliers, as you and Mike break it down as well as anybody, and that's why we wanted you on today, Brad Sellers, because you've been around the team all season. You've talked about them almost, after every single game this year, and here's the matchup, Cavs-Magic, 4-5. How comfortable are you with the Cavaliers maybe having an advantage and being able to win this series against Orlando versus somebody else they could have played?
Well, I just think this, and I've been, and Kenny, thank you for having me. I've been around this game for a long time. I've seen a lot of different scenarios. And so this is not the first time this has ever crept up in this league, right, trying to figure out where your matchups are.
Right.
No different than the opportunities for the Cavaliers as they move forward. They got a 4-5 matchup. By just being in the fourth slot, they have the advantage over Orlando because they have the home court advantage. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy series by far, but as it leads to matchups, I think I like what I see up in front of me.
What is the best matchup? What is the one that you like the most in favor of the Cavaliers?
Well, this is what I like. Orlando's a very young team. I'm not sure when the rubber meets the road, how are they going to respond when rubber meets the road, right? Because there's always a scenario, Kenny. You go back to the days when I was playing. I mean, I was a rookie. There were things that I thought how things would transpire because in my mind, I had already processed it in my head. This is how this is going to work. And didn't work out like that. And I only found out at it after it ended. And I was like, that didn't kind of go what I thought. Case in point. I'll give you a case in point. When they give you a 7-game series when I was a rookie, you know what I thought, Kenny? That meant I'm going to get 7 games. I did not understand that the other side thought, no, you're going to get 4. That's what you're going to get. And I didn't understand it until it happened to me. I guess I didn't. And we were on our way 1 year to the Eastern. We were in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we should have been playing the Lakers in the championship my second or third year. And we went up 2-1 against the Pistons. And all we had to do really was get the next game, which will put up a 3-1, and I don't think anybody's coming back 3-1 with Michael Jordan on it.
Right.
When we lost the game, so the game really had was that fourth game. When we lost the game, my thing was, well, we still got 3 games left. The pitchers were like, nope, you messed up now, and you're only going to get 2 because we're going to get out of here 2 more. And that's what happened.
Wow. Brad, for me, the question, you know, you ask a question, how will Orlando respond? My question has got to be, how will the Cavaliers respond? And their win total on a young team, Orlando, is up 13 games. Cavaliers down 3 games. So I guess my real question has got to be this. What are your thoughts on the regular season? And, you know, we don't want to just play the injury card, but what are your thoughts on this past regular season? Does it equate to the playoffs?
Well, I think the playoffs are a totally different scenario. The one thing I'll say is this, Orlando can be up plus the 12 or 13 and Cleveland can be down 3. Doesn't matter because we weren't a full and healthy squad all along. The one thing that I take away from this is this, what should have left a bad taste in everybody's mouth is how it ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play all 82 games. This thing is not going to be judged until these next playoff games to see if what lessons were really learned. And that's what I think the people in the town, in this city are waiting for. Because I can't find a person here to like the way that ended last year, including our own players.
Right.
Right. So this is always about redemption. as a player, you got to always remember that redemption will come your way if you pay the dues. I think the Cavaliers have paid enough dues, but now it's time to stop talking about it. We're going to get to it here on Saturday.
Brad, as a former player, and you talk about paying dues and the way they end things, and they shouldn't have been happy the way things ended last year. Should we be happy the way things ended this year in the regular season? A lot of people are giving J.B. Bickerstaff a lot of heat, saying maybe they tanked or maybe they didn't tank that final game. As a player, could you ever imagine not going out there to win a game?
Listen, I don't, you know, I some of it, you know, when I listen to it, I have to turn it off sometimes because I think anybody hits the floor is going to give you their all. So if you think that people are out there going half speed, 50%, I don't think that was the case at all, right? So I just think that Charlotte did enough to come back and win the game. And again, I'll say this because, you know, when people, when I hear that, I'm like, man, let me tell you something. I don't think anybody in the Eastern Conference side boss is any position to be placing that I got a better chance here. That you're going to see some people along this road. So we see Orlando first. Now, would I have rather seen Orlando as opposed to Miami? You're asking me? Yeah, I'm not stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Why do I want to see the Heat culture? Why do I want to see Embiid and Maxi? I don't want to see them early. Mm-hmm. You know, I listened to the stuff last night. You know, people out here talk about LeBron and should have lost last night. Should have lost or what? I said, this is not what this is about. This is about using what you did in the 82-game series, I mean, 82-game schedule. And what it's about now is, can you impose your will on somebody for four wins? Four. That's the key. Now, you're not going to duck Boston because they should be waiting for you. They're going to be waiting for you somewhere along the way if you stay in the Eastern Conference long enough. Mm-hmm. So you're not ducking anybody. But it's not like this is the first time that I don't think that is this type of scenario has worked out before. In this league, NFL, and they sit quarterback down all the time in NFL the last game. Tell me they don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. No. Yeah. I see. Brad, I'm one of those people that thought the Cavaliers, I don't want to say tanked. Let's not use the word tanked, right? But if you look who was in the game at the time in the fourth quarter, right? And you're right. Yeah. As a former player, though, who's ever in the game isn't going to try and throw the game unless you're that kid for Toronto that got banned from the league, right?
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
So those young guys were in there, and they were giving it their all, but they're the – you know, but they're the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th player, you know, and I know Charlotte had a bunch of guys hurt too, but yeah. I see 32 to 14, and I just go, okay, this worked out perfectly for the Cavaliers because now they get Orlando, like you said, instead of having to worry about either the Knicks, the Heat, or the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, you know, again, I would just tell you this, that at the end, the guys that were on the floor, I think, played their hardest. They didn't have enough strength to get past a streaky Charlotte team at the end. So I don't believe in tanking and stuff like that. I don't believe in that at all, right? But I do believe in this. I believe in what happened in 82 is done. Show me the next four.
All right.
That's what I
believe. Okay. Yeah, and that's the key, right? You've got to find a way to win four of the next seven.
Okay.
And you would think, based on the experience they gained, bad experience, but now you hope it turns into good experience for this year. Last year against the Knicks, don't you hope that they learn from it and then the Magic suffer what the Cavaliers suffered last year against the Knicks?
Yeah, you do, because Kenny, let me take you. Kenny, you've been around. You know how this thing works, right? So in 89, the Bulls and the Cavs play where the one where Jordan hit the shot at the end to win the series.
Yep.
Everybody in Chicago thought we were going down in three. It was like you could not get out of there. There was a team you did not want to face. It was Cleveland. They had everything that counteracted what we thought we had done well. They had beat us six times in the regular season. But my point about it again, at the end, when you get into the playoff scenario, it is now not about what happened in 82 games, who would place this. Who can actually take an advantage of you in to win four games? That's it. And that can be – that don't mean that – because we get the home court advantage, we're going to win it. You got to go win it. Because I guarantee you this, I don't see Orlando coming in here laying down.
Right.
Just because Cleveland got the fourth spot, they got the fifth. So the first game of the series, to me, is always the telltale sign.
I look at this series with Orlando, right? And, you know, they can be somewhat physical, but not the level of the Knicks, the Heat, or the Philadelphia 76ers, okay? Donovan Mitchell came out and said, look, I'm going to be judged by getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Not just the first round win, but I got to get this team to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I love that he said that, because that means they're thinking not only about winning this first round, but whoever they play in the second round, he's got to be the leader, right? He's going to take them as far as they go. And don't you love hearing that before a series starts from somebody?
Yeah, he's the lead dog. You know, I was funny because, you know, I came up at a different time, right? And then the veterans would just speak their mind. So one of the things I vividly remember was they would tell people all the time, like, even the best players, they tell me, go earn your money. That's what I told them. Like, so like you get in a clutch situation, Kenny, and we tight, and the star players, guys on the bench would go tell them, go earn your money. That would be to Michael.
That was easy to do, though, Brad. I mean, we don't have a
Michael. It wasn't Scotty.
Yeah. We don't have a Michael Jordan on this team.
It was to Michael. Go earn your money.
Brad, if you're J.B. Bickerstaff.
That's what you're the top guy. That's what happened.
If you're J.B. Bickerstaff in this series, do you change anything as far as the game plan has been? I mean, for a lot of us watching this season, it's been a little bit frustrating at times. Do you change anything up as far as maybe your rotation? Maybe you don't play as many players. You don't go as deep. What do you change up if you're J.B. Bickerstaff?
Well, I think you come out the gate with your best five first, right? Because the first game is going to be the telltale sign. And you react off of that, right? You react of how – because you don't know how people are going to respond. You don't know how the matchups are going to play out. The one thing I guarantee you was the last couple times I saw Orlando, they tried to be very physical with us. Now, why you ask, why did they come out and try to be so physical? Because everybody saw what the Knicks did. So you think they've forgotten that? They probably, some of them think that's the formula. Okay. So we're going to have to meet that. You're going to tell that in the first game, or you're going to meet it head on. And if you meet it head on, now we got something here. Because you have to counteract the narrative. That's the narrative. I've heard Donovan. Oh, not Donovan, but I heard Jared Allen just talking about after the last game. That's the narrative out here.
Sure.
So until you correct that narrative, that's what it's going to be.
And it's fair, too, based on what we saw last year, right? And at times this year, when they played the Miami Heat and got blown out of the building, they lost the season series to the Knicks. It's still with them, isn't it? That bad, it's like a cloud covering over the entire Cavaliers team, following them wherever they go when they play a physical team, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's a saying out here that says you're only good as your last game, right? So if everybody remembers your last playoff game, right, that's what they remember. So until you erase that out of the memory, out of recent memory, and you can only do that by your performance. Now, I got to think, Kenny, that the guys should be revved up and ready to go. I'm expecting that. You got a good time. It's a 1 o'clock start. Great. We're not here all night. So you have an ability here at home. You're going to have a capacity crowd in there. There's no question about that. We want to take care of the business, right? I think people here are frustrated because what they did before the All-Star break had everybody rocking and rolling. Then we came back with a bunch of injuries, and it was kind of hit or miss. They want to see what they saw before the All-Star game. Because believe me, this, if I know this town, everybody in this town wants to be successful. This is a winning city. We've won before. And not just in basketball. We've won things before. And so we don't like to be the butt of any jokes around here. So let's go.
Brad Sellers is our guest, does a fabulous job on the Cavs Radio Network, or the Audioverse, as they call it, as the postgame analyst with Mike Snyder. Played in the league for 6-7 years, overseas for another 6 or 7. Opa! He knew all about the Greek league he played in over there and winning over there and having a good time, and was a teammate of Michael Jordan. So he's been in that locker room where, you know, the leader steps up and not only tells you what to do, but then goes out and gets it done. So if they're going to get it done, Brad, give us a couple of keys for the Cavaliers to beat this Orlando team and win their first playoff series since 1998 without a LeBron James on the roster?
So here are my keys, Kenny, and I'm glad you asked that, right? The first thing is, I'm going to need Donovan Mitchell to be elite. You're going to need to be elite here. Secondly, Darius Garland, I'm going to need you to be elite too. I can't have 1,000 turnovers here. I need you to be the lead dog at the point guard here. Also, Evan Mobley, this is your time. This is year three. Showtime. Time to go. And the second thing, as Jared Allen referred to in the last game at home, we have to erase the stigma that the league has attached to us. And the only way we can do that is with 48 minutes of basketball and 4 victories. Right? Then you can carry that over to the next series. But that has to be erased. So when you see the Wagner boys and Bonquero, I mean, by the time you see, okay, I know what they're going to do. So this got to be cut off in the beginning. We're not here for any foolishness. That's the
Brad,
deal.
I want to take. Yeah, it is. And here's their chance, right? And should it go to a seventh game, it'll be in Cleveland. So that's the nice fallback. That's what you played those 82 for in this first round of the playoffs. Let's hope it happens. We'll be listening with you and Mike Snyder on the postgame side of things. Before we let you go, two other things in totally different directions.
Good
Jake Diebler, I saw the photo. I saw that photo of you and Ronnie Stokes and Dennis Hobson and all the former players, right, when they announced that Jake Diebler was, take the interim tag away and make him the head coach. Just your thoughts on naming Diebler and being down there with the fellows and talking to Jake.
Well, the good thing about it, and we're wishing Jake all the best. We really care about the place. And the good thing was they put out the call, the dog whistle, and everybody showed up, right? So that that was good. It was a good reunion to see everybody. And the thing about it is that the Buckeyes are trying to – listen, I'll be clear. Nobody likes to see where the Buckeyes ended up last year. That is that's not the Ohio State I think we all know. And so he's trying to resurrect the program to a level that I think is commensurate with what everybody expects it to be. So we're excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that there was some outreach to some of the formers. And we just want to be supportive of Jake's efforts out here, you know. And then I have to, when I go down there, I have to remind them, you know, they think I'm totally a Maryland man now, right? So I'm like, oh, no, I'm a Maryland man with the women, right? So
I noticed that. I saw what your daughter did, man. Cheyenne at JT, his daughter plays for Maryland, 6'2" guard, right? She averaged 15.5 points, 6 rebounds, 5.5 assists. She's a facilitator, a rebounder, and a scorer. How proud are you of that?
I'm good. You know, Kenny's got a chance. She's in with Kelsey Plum. Got this elite 10 group of girls going to this camp this weekend. So Cheyenne's projected to be a first rounder, but I like, you know, projections are one thing. You got to still go out here and play this game. So we're proud of her. Obviously, that you know, I had my druthers. And she had her own brothers. She said she wanted to cut her new path, right? She didn't want to. I mean, she told me this. She said, I really didn't want to walk in the shoes you walked in, Dad. All right. Where are we going? We're going to Maryland. Okay. That's where we're going.
Hey, 12,000, or what is it? 1,231 points so far? That's not too bad, cutting her own path.
Not bad.
And she,
bad. We need some more victories. We had a chance. She played in the Sweet 16 her freshman year, Elite Eight her second year. Got put out in the first round by Iowa State this year. And like any other program, I say all these programs are out here in the portal. It's not like it used to be, Kenny, where you had to go recruit the high school kids. Mm-hmm. It's really about this portal action and seeing who you can get to come in and play with you for a couple of years. So things are good. She's doing well. I'm proud of her. I think we're all proud. My entire family's proud of her. I would just tell you so. Ronnie Stokes, I'm the president. Ronnie Stokes is everywhere. He keeps me abreast of what's happening down in Columbus.
That's great to hear. Hey, we always appreciate the time you make for us, Brad. Keep up the great work on the postgame. Hopefully it's a long run in the postseason, and you and Mike will be doing a lot of games late night, and we'll have you back on throughout the playoffs, all right?
Yeah, that would be nice, because the later you play at night, that means more people want to see you, right? Get the 1 o'clock slot. That's like the early slot. So we got to work our way out of that.
Sounds great. Hey, Brad, thanks so much. Be well, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
There is Brad Sellers checking in with us. 6 years in the NBA, 7 years overseas. Cavs radio analyst on the post-game show. Oh, yeah, third-term mayor in Warrensville Heights, too. So he's doing that on top of everything else. And his daughter, very good player at Maryland. Didn't they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament this year?
I don't remember. Buckeyes lost, what, the second game, I believe?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I'm trying to remember. I should have asked him. He would have been able to tell me if it was Maryland who knocked them out. But, yeah, I Googled her, man. She's got a chance next year when we talk about the WNBA draft to get drafted.
He mentioned her when we were at Media Day and we spoke to him. And I failed to realize until I was just looking this up, he's still part of that 1986 draft where Brad Daugherty's number one, isn't he?
Yeah, he was selected, based on his size and outside shooting ability. Mm-hmm. Jerry Krause selected him, thinking that that's the wave of the future, and he was kind of ahead of his time.
Well, the thing is, he starts off his college career at Wisconsin. We had known of him in Ohio because he went to high school where Warrensville Heights, I believe, or is that where he went to high school?
Yes.
So we had known who he was when he came back to Ohio State. Or when he came to Ohio State and transferred. Remember, there's no transfer portal back then. In order to do that, he probably had to sit out a year, right? Because everybody had to sit out a year if you transferred. Ends up at Ohio State. We expected a lot more from the Buckeyes in that program. I think their coach was, Eldon Miller is the head coach there.
Yep.
So Troy and Ronnie are there for McKinley. And then you've got Brad Sellers, and it's unfortunate that they didn't get out of Columbus. I mean, they did play Michael Jordan, I think.
Well, they won the NIT one year that he was there. Yeah. And how about this? Maryland beat Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament this year.
They did.
Women, 82-61.
All right.
And are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Cheyenne Sellers, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists against J.C. Shelton, as well as Celeste Taylor and the rest of that team. So kudos to her, man. She'll be somebody to keep an eye on.
The Lady Buckeyes didn't finish up the season the way we thought they were going to, and they went on a 15-game home game winning streak, but they lost in the Big Ten tournament. Then they lost in the other tournament. I mean, it was unbelievable when we thought that they were going to protect that house and lost. Who was it? UConn in the second round.
Duke beat them. They were ahead of Duke at halftime,
and then they
lost to Duke 76, I think 76-65 or something like that by 11 points or 12 points.
Duke. You're right.
But good stuff from Brad Sellers. Yeah. Always great to hear from somebody who played in the league, who played in playoff. Hell, he inbounded the ball to Jordan on the shot, so he knows of what he speaks when it comes playoff pressure and playoff times. We got a break in right now. We'll come back with more of the Kenny and JT Show after this.